found a new verse for us. Go to Ezekiel 22. I got a verse that's going to really knock your socks off. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 26 in the Amplified. This is an awesome verse. Let me tell you about Brother Ron. Stand back up, Brother Ron. Y'all look at him. See him over there? Just stand there a minute. You just answer me some questions. I have thought about this. We have been working together a long time. I was down in Benito Juarez, where I grew up in the Lord, in the mountains, getting completely beat up, kicked around. I was taught by principalities and governing and ruling spirits. That's who taught me. They taught me how to hate them. And I learned. I learned my lesson. You don't compromise with demons. You hate demons. You hate evil. You ensue it. Brother Ron comes down. He comes from a vibrant church up yonder, St. Paul, Minnesota. I had to forgive him for that first. But we got over that gradually. But we're over that, right, Brother Ron? I think so. Took a few years, but we're making ground here. But you know what? He was an elder. True? He was out of an American church, a church that's on fire. Church is a soul-winning church, a committed church, a church with principle, commitment. But when he got to us, was that what I wanted out of you? What did I want out of you? Go ahead, it's all right. It's right. It's right. I didn't want theology. He's one of the best theologians. You can go down with him and you'll lose. Right there, that man. He knows the Word of God. He knew theology. He's one of the best musicians. He can come up here and play just about all these instruments up here. He can lead worship. He can do the things that you like. But when he got to me, I'm looking at him. I had real long hair back in them days. I'm just standing there looking at him. Real long mountain beard. I'm just looking at him. Me dead you raised. And Brother David, well, I don't need you. But see, and that's how I believe. I believe that. As a person, I believe that. If you can't do the works of the Lord Jesus, I don't need you. All right? But if you can be patient with me, I can teach you how to do it. See? Now, he just got through telling you about where he works. And it's 12 hours from where our central big work is, where he was trained. It's down on the Guatemalan border. How many churches y'all got now? I don't know. 26 churches. He went down there and raised up. And there's 26 churches, thousands of believers. There's been 5 dead raisings down there. Now if you ask him, Brother Ron, how many people have been raised from the dead? That's different. That's a different answer. Now he's useful. See, and if you look at it, thank you, Brother Ron. I don't want you to just keep standing there. But if you look at a resume of how to get a job at a church in America. And I am not deriding you. I am not. You can take it that way if you need to. I'm happy to oblige you on it. But that's not my point. I'm not after you for that. That's not the idea here. The idea is not to get you so mad at me right off the gun here that you won't listen to what else is coming. I need you to hear this because it will help us do a better job in the long run of life. But that man came there. His resume was perfect. His family was in order. His wife, Miss Tessa, she's still there. She loves Jesus. His oldest daughter sitting right there. Her husband, they live in Mexico. They work for God. I mean, I don't want to tell you. Everything's pretty. Play 5 or 10 instruments. Worship God all day. Preach house till the house lights on fire, that man can. But it's no good. It's no good if there ain't no power to follow it. It's called religion. Now, I am not a mad little fellow. I'm really happy. Brother Rod gave me some good fried shrimp and alligator a while ago. I'm happy. And then they, back here in this back thing, they fixed us another good meal of fried fish and hush puppies. I'm good. Well, now listen. Verse 26 in the Amplified, Ezekiel 22. Her priests have done violence to my law. I want you to know you cannot be a bad priest. God will not tolerate it. It doesn't make any difference what your resume says. It makes a difference if God will back you. That's what matters. They have made no distinction between the sacred and the secular. I'm telling you, the house of God's got to stand up for the sacred powers and holy things of God. We have got to do that. We have got to make a distinction between. Jumping over to verse 30, I sought a man among them who would stand, who would build upon the wall, up the wall, and stand in the gap before me for the land. For the land. I stand for the nation of Mexico. My belt buckle has a national flag on it. I stand for that nation. I tell you, I love those people. God has put it in me to give my life for those people. And I'm good. I'm good with that. I stand in the gap, and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I couldn't find any. Now heaven's looking. And we've been talking about, well, it was the first night. And then last night over here, jumped the page. You know, my son-in-law, he got this real powerful computer, and he looked it up. And I was wrong on my numbers. It wasn't 18 times that it says loyal and obedient service. It was 28 times it says that. He corrected me, and I took his correction. Because I went and looked on my personal computer and I verified what he said. Because I have one of them too, you know. And so, the first place is Ezekiel 24. I missed that one somehow. It says there, you know, destruction. The word destruction is there. But we have to understand and realize this is Ezekiel 24:24 in the Amplified. I am the Lord God, the sovereign ruler, who calls forth loyalty and obedient service. That was last night. I almost went blew a head gasket on y'all last night over this. I did. And it's 28 times in Ezekiel that this is brought up. God is serious. And all the way, I showed it to you last night, all the way through the first 20 times, he's talking about destruction and desolation and cleaning the clock, plow and tearing things up. And he's not going to tolerate any nation that will not obey him and be loyal to him in service. He's not going to do it. That includes America. You know, and we went on, and then we got over there in number 29, in verse 16, Ezekiel 29:16, and it says demands. You know, he went from call who calls to who demands. God demands. You don't like people doing that to you. You're Americans. You're free. And it really bothers you when a guy like me will stand up here, who happens to have a blue passport too, American, and tell you, God demands this out of you. But then it goes a little stronger, and it turns in Ezekiel 32, verse 15, he requires it. He requires it. Now, I'm telling you that lots of you, myself included, lots of us, we were taught for years that we have a right to receive or reject God according to our personal will. That's wrong. You don't have the right to choose. You are demanded to be loyal and obey. And it's required of a human before heaven, or you're going to get smoked, buddy. I'm serious. Now, okay? But, and then it went on to where we could, those who will do this can rake in the harvest, or it calls it the flocks of men at the end there. I don't have that marked. Let me look it up. I just want to right there see them. Uh-oh, I can't find it. Yeah, there it is. Number 36, Ezekiel 36 and verse 38, it says, and the cities will be filled with flocks of men, and they'll know and understand and realize that I am the Lord. It's time for the harvest. It's time for the church, us, to understand and realize, wake up and come out of slumber and A lot of us are disillusioned. We get excited, and then all of a sudden our leadership or somebody will change the program and it makes us mad. So we're going to sit down and watch it work first. And then you go from sitting down and watching it work first to just being completely backslid. Listen. I go into lots of different. Brother Rod asked me today, does it matter what kind of church I go into anymore? And it don't. I don't care what's on the doorpost outside. As long as they're after the blood of Jesus and a few fundamental doctrines are adhered to, I'm good. If they're on the fire of God, I'm in. Because what I got will change anybody, no matter who it is. And I really believe that. And the reason I believe it is because I'm loyal. I'm obedient to the call. I'm obedient to the demand. I'm obedient to the requirement that's placed on me by the Holy Ghost. All right? All right. Now, we're going to take another step here. That's what happened Monday night and Tuesday night. But this, what is tonight? Sunday night. And Monday night, and tonight's Tuesday. All right, because we're not going fishing tomorrow. Or are we, Brother Rod? We're going to leave them with this and we're going fishing? I know the answer to that. So, now, I'm going to try to do this. And I'm going to try to blow up all over this house. I'm going to do my best to leave as much of this in here as possible. I am tired of toting it around. This is a prophetic word of the Holy Ghost, and I know it is. Church of the Living God. I told you in the beginning, we have got to lift the standard. So I was over yonder in Denver a couple of months ago, and I was preaching, you know, and it was the second night of a three-day conference. I mean, they had a hall like this, and then they had two more rooms, pretty good size, packed out. And I was in the main hall preaching, and they had closed-circuit TV in the other rooms. And there's this fella. The pastor brought me up to his office. I was there. There's this big old fella. He's a big fella. He come up to me and he just stopped and looked at me. And, you know, I'll pay attention to those kind of things. Where I live, it's smart. Pay attention to those kind of things. And so we're going to Isaiah, y'all, in 59. And this boy was big. I'm serious. And then he reaches and gets me. My arms are like this. I should have got away. He was just a half second ahead of me. And he picked me up, and I mean he was a bear. He crunched me up good. And I'm right up there by his face. I'm fixing to headbutt him is what I'm going to do. Ain't much left I could do. He had me pinned down. And he's telling me, thank you. I mean, he's squeezing me. Goodness gracious. I told my wife later, I know how you feel now when I get a hold of you. I said, golly, man. Thank you, Brother Hogan. Thank you. Thank you. I said, look, you can be grateful. Just put me down. You're hurting me. You're hurting me. But Brother Hogan, put me down. And I mean, I'm off the floor. He was a big boy. I said, now, you stand over there about a yard over there, and you let me get ready. Let's try this again. Now, you tell me why you're so happy, but you don't touch me. You know what was wrong with him before? That one time we was there, when we went up there, wasn't you there, Brother Jay, when we went through Denver that first time, you and Jody? Sean, yeah, you was there. Luis, right? Is that who it was on that run? And there were so many people in these rooms that we couldn't get to. I couldn't personally get to everybody. It was just too many people. So I sent the guys to the different rooms. Remember that? Y'all remember that? And so they're in them different rooms down there praying. Now, that man told me, now you listen to what, this is going to bear into what I'm saying here in a minute. My son went down there. Joseph, stand up. Where you at? Stand up there. There he is right there, big old boy. Yeah. Thank you. He went down yonder in that room down yonder, or like the second basement or something, had about 300 folks in it. And he is praying down there. There was a fellow that was they tried to get him up there to me personally. He didn't make it. It was just the press. He could not get there. It was just too many people. Okay? And so my son Jody laid hands on him in the name of Jesus. The man was in a wheelchair. Now listen, this gorilla that got a hold of me was in a wheelchair, quadriplegic, 10 years. Yeah. And I'm standing there after he let me down. All right, now let's go over this real slow. Why are you so grateful? He said, I just want to tell you thank you for raising up your son in the power of the gospel. I said, you welcome. Let's keep it at a distance here. And he told me his story. And what happened was that my son laid hands on him, and after they carried him off and, you know, in the chair, because he was neck broke from a car accident, and they carried him home. In 2 days, it was 48 hours after the prayer was made, fire, the word, you listen to this, fire came on him, and for the first time in 10 years, started in his feet, burning him, and he's screaming, burned all the way up his body and went up his head, went right back down his body. And whenever the people came to check on him because he was screaming so much, they found him unbuckling himself, standing up because he was healed. Now, I want to listen. Listen to me, church. You know it's not because you don't give. You know it's not because you don't take care and your hospitality's not good. It's not because you don't love people. That's not where I'm going. We got to get our standard up of God in us. There are groups of people worldwide that are good people that have great hospitality skills. All right? And they are secular. And I've met lots of them, because I travel a lot. And that's all good. And you need to be, the Bible says in Romans 12, that one of the things that we need to be as a church, as a body of believers, is hospitable to all believers, especially those of the household of God. And so that's the way it's right. These things are correct. Let me say something here. I want to just talk some over with you. We are going to raise the standard. I'm not going to get... I was so mad at the America for a number of years. Just the cotton picking. You're just insolent. You sing about caring, but you don't care. You give as long as you don't have to do the work. Now... All right, you got to not be secular about this gospel power. You got to be sacred about this gospel power. You got to be loyal and obedient to His call, His demand, His requirement. And there's a reason. Look at this. Verse 12, let's see if I can do this. I am about to run over this whole thing. Oh, boy. Isaiah 59:12. For our transgressions are multiplied. This is not particularly every individual sitting in this room. This, as a nation, we are transgressed. You hear me? As a nation. And you are part of this nation. You can't go down the road, listen to the latest CD, and worship God, speak in tongues, and go to work, and then come home, get in your bass boat, and go fishing, and it's all going to work out. It ain't! Now, it just ain't. It's not going to work out. This nation has transgressed, and we got to fall on our face to heaven, and we got to get it fixed. We know how. We are the church. We have been taught the sacred. And we lean toward the secular. That's not loyal. It's not obedient. Transgressions are multiplied before you, O Lord, and our sins testify against us. Our transgressions are with us, and our iniquities we know and recognize them. That's the whole thing. I can take just about any person in here, some not, but most. And I can tell you, and you can quote to me a list of things that's wrong with our nation. And then you'll walk right out those doors and honky-tonk it all the way home and fight and cuss. And wonder why heaven ain't healing your babies. And get mad at God over it. Because you know what's right. Then God ought to do it because you know. No. If you know, you should do it. And God will respond to loyalty. And obedience. And us bowing to the sacred and holy things of God. All right, let's go. We got to get to jumpy, shouty stuff. Rebelling against and denying the Lord. See, we cannot do that. That's secular. It's yes, Lord. It's what it is. It's yes, Lord. It's not denying. We're going to yield. What was that word Ms. Mary used? A doubt. We're going to yield. We're going to doubt. We're going to submit. We're going to bow. We're going to receive. We are. No, we are. I'm standing up here. I'm the doormat you walked in on, and I know that. I'm a mule rider. I got it. And I'm all right with it. But I'm telling you this right now. It's fixing to be a split in the sheets, honey. I'm going with Jesus. I'm not going into denial. I'm not going to want your friendship over God. I'm just not going to. And I really respect you thoroughly in my heart. But that respect comes from your trust of heaven. You hear me? We got to do this together. We don't walk in denial. We don't back away because it's getting tough. We go into it when it lights up. We take steps forward into it when the demon lights up on us. Justice is turned away backward in righteousness. Upright and right standing with God stands afar off. That's verse 14. Truth has fallen in the streets. City's forum and uprightness cannot enter the courts of justice. We know that to be true in our nation. We know it's true. It's true. That's a true statement. And we're going to fix it. Because we, the people of God, are going to bow in loyalty and obedient service. And we are going to let the secular go. And we are going to hold on to the sacred. And it says in my Bible, yes, truth is lacking, verse 15, amplified in Isaiah 59. Yes, truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Huh? Hello. I'm a prey. Take your best shot. Let's go. I'm serious, Brother Doug. You know I'm serious, buddy. Come on with it. Ah! That's right, Brian, buddy. Get you good by it. Many devils before you have. And I still stand healed. Hallelujah. Shiatane. I need some more people around me to be prey. Let's give them a full course meal. Let's give them something to chew on. We can do this. I so believe it. I so have the faith of the Holy Ghost in my heart. Brother, oh, you, the mistakes I've made, oh, really? You're human too? I'll be. Let's go. All right, we passed that. Now, what's the problem now? All of us are humans. All of us make mistakes. It's true, you know. The Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man. See, this is tying in with Ezekiel 22:30. I don't know if you noticed that. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there were no intercessors. You know, I intercede. I'm an intercessor. I pray. I'm serious. I get up early and I seek heaven. And I like it. It's good. But then I get in my truck and I go in the mountains and I look for souls and I look for these people that's dying and hurting. I got men out here. Is this true or not, Jay? Is this Chico? Kenny? Is it true or not? Stand up. Tell them. Some of y'all. All of you. Yeah, see? Look what this says in the brackets, if it's up there in verse 16. No one to intervene on behalf of truth and right. Oh, yes, I will. Oh, yes, I will. I said I was. I said I am. I'm going to stand it. I'm going to stand. I'm staying in the gap. I'm going to have hold of the sacred, and I'm standing in the gap. Let's do it. Come on. I'm good. Brother Rod, I'm good. What? And look what it says right here. Therefore, his own arm brought him victory in his righteousness. Jesus, having the Spirit without measure. You ever read that in John chapter 3, verse 36? Where God gave Jesus the Spirit without measure? That's his right arm! Yep, if you study your Bible some. Look at verse 17. For the Lord put on righteousness as a breastplate. What are we doing in Ephesians chapter 6? I want you to look at Ephesians 6, the armor of God. I want you to look here in Isaiah 59, verse 17. I want you to look. Y'all all look at these double words. Well, there, here's another one for you. The Lord put on righteousness as a breastplate, the coat of mail, and salvation as a helmet on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and look at what he was clad with. Zeal! My whole life I've been told I'm overzealous. My whole life. Man, you're trying to have too much faith. Man, you're too zealous. You too... Dave, come on, calm down, brother. When are we going to calm down, Brother Ron? When? In the grave. Remember? You better pray I stay there. That's all I can tell you. Miss Hogan will be there. You might have trouble with that. She got me up already. Look at that word. Is it up there? A furious divine jealousy. Do you see that's in the Bible?
Oh, bro, hold on. That ain't the version I read. Praise the Lord.
The reason you don't read it is because you don't want to have to try to fulfill it. You comfortable? You want me to leave you alone? No, I'm not going to. I'm a prey, and I want some help with this. I need other people to paint targets on them, and let's go to war. According as their deeds deserve, so will he repay wrath to his adversaries. That's what the Word of God says in verse 18. Recompense to his enemies on the foreign islands and coastlands, he will make compensation. I tell you, I have been given the right to go forth and clad in God's jealousy and fierce divine power. Listen, there's something coming that's so good. When I read this, I fell clean out the chair on the floor and just kicked my feet up in there. Look, what's this? I am going to be loyal. I am going to be obedient in the service of God. I don't care when he calls, what he's calling for. I don't care what he demands. I don't care who he demands it of my family. I don't care what the requirements are. I'm going to fill them. And I'm going to do it with the sacred, not the secular. Well, there's something coming. What's this? So, as the result, verse 19, of the Messiah's intervention. Now then, we done got to us. Has Jesus intervened in your life? Has Jesus intervened in your family? Now, what's fixed to happen is as a result of Him. It ain't got a living thing to do with you and I. It's Him. It's about Jesus. It's about the reason why we need to follow and be loyal to Jesus. It's why we need to be in obedient service. That's why we need to hold on to the sacred. They shall reverently fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord. This is the verse y'all all read. But you fail to get rid of the sin that's calling out to God for some sort of judgment. And then you wonder where the Spirit of the Lord is. He's in us. I'll tell you where He's at. You think it's okay to put up with a little bit of secular and try to hold on to as much of the sacred as you can, and hopefully God will let you have it. You're shooting craps, buddy. You're rolling the dice, and they load it against you, I'm telling you right now. You can't play those games and survive. You can't play the politics. You can't stay ahead of it. It'll eventually destroy you. The Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard. I call on the standard. I call on the standard. We are going to lift the standard with the Spirit of God. We are going to find out how to raise the standard in our personal lives. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can start with loyalty and obedient service. You can start with letting go of the secular and grabbing the sacred. You can start with making yourself vulnerable and trust in heaven. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him and put, look at this, and put him to flight, for he will come. Look what this says in the Amplified, verse 19, the last part up there. Make sure this is phenomenal right here. For he, this is the Holy Ghost, will come like a rushing stream. Now look what it says. Which the breath of the Lord drives. I tell you, I'm in that. I have been picked up by this rushing river of power from the standard of God. And the breath of God is driving it. I am not insane. I am not overzealous. I am not asking too much of you. I am not asking enough. I can't figure out how to figure out the right words to get you more. But I will. Heaven's demanding on you. Come, children of the Most High God. Raise the standard of power in your life. And mercy and grace and anointing and love. He shall come as a redeemer to Zion and to those in Jacob who turn from transgression, says the Lord. And I want you to look at verse 21. I want you to know that my Bible says that God does not lie and it's impossible for Him to. That's in Hebrews chapter 18, verse 6. That's in Titus chapter 1. Verse 2, it's impossible for God to lie. He won't lie. God won't lie. And He says right here in Isaiah 59 and verse 21, as for me, I'm talking about the sovereign God. The Lord who is making these demands on you and making these requirements and calling you forth to holiness and purity. That's what I'm talking about. I'm going to read what He wants, what He's going to do. All right? As for me, this is my covenant. This is my league. God is looking to make covenant with you. He wants to league with you. And you flirtatious prostitute. I didn't share some of them verses. I was a little merciful to you. I've got some verses that cause this place to empty out. And all I got to do is read them and not say nothing. But they're written right down on this tablet up here. And I've got a big itch. It needs scratching, I can tell you. Son, I trust the covenant of God. I am driven by the breath of heaven. You watch what he is an amazing God. As for me, this is my covenant or league with them, says the Lord. My spirit, who is upon you, you listen to me. That lying deceiver has convinced you that the spirit of God might be on David Hogan. But I am just a pew warmer sitting over here. That's a lie. You are full of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of the living God's on you. The breath of heaven is in you. The league of God is in your spirit. The covenant of God's power is on you. You have the right to stand up in God's standard and be driven by the Holy Ghost. But you don't know, I've messed up 100 times. No, you're just looking for an excuse. Because deep down in your spirit, you know that great Holy Ghost loves you. And He wants you. And He's making league with you. And you know I'm telling you the truth about this loyalty and obedience. And you know I'm telling you the truth about letting that secular go and holding on to that sacred. You know it. And you know I'm right about raising the standard. You know it. And I know it. I'm all right. See? And I believe and I can trust the Holy Ghost that the work that He's begun in us, He will finish. We will not be robbed. We will not be stolen. But we will adhere to, comply to, and rely on. And what's that word again? Adapt. To the Holy Ghost. You hear me? That's what we're going to do. I'm telling you, I'm on fire. You should leave now. I gave you warning. The Holy Ghost is fixing to fix many people in this house. His league with you and His covenant that the devil has come in and whispered and twisted and misconstrued and hurt you, and people have hurt you, and good people, good well-meaning people. You finna get over it. So am I. My spirit is upon you, and who writes the law of God inwardly in, on the heart. See, that's what I got going for me. It's in your spirit. God put it there. I know you know what's right. And I got to talk you into doing it. And all the apprehension and all the hurt and all the things that could happen to you, yep, yep, you're praying, you're vulnerable, yep. Mm-hmm. It's true. Let me ask one of you sipping saints something. Jesus manifests here, you gonna offer Him a beer? You gonna give him a joint? You gonna give him a cigarette? Hello? I don't fear you. Because you got it in your spirit. You know what's right. But you just dabbling. Just leave it that world, bro. Chill out, bro. Hold it. Not in your lifetime. Nope. Not going to. You got to have somebody to talk about. Yep, sir. Trust me, I can take it. Taking it for years. You know why I take it? You know what I do with it? I hear it. It hurts my feelings. So I go in yonder and I sit down and I pray in tongues. And I don't get up till it's gone. You can keep it. I can't. See, there's a difference in us. That's what I've been trying to tell you. You have rights I don't have. I have to be right standing up here tonight. See? Isn't that right? Isn't that right, Brother Rod? I don't have the privileges other people have. Sipping, dipping devils. I like Skoll. I like Budweiser. I like the taste of it. I can't do it. Too many people get hurt if I tried that stuff. I'm serious. There'd be lots of people that'd go to hell over it. And I'd be accountable. I'd just soon not have that, thank you. I'm going to try to walk it straight. I'm sure you could do a better job. You just don't want to get up there and walk with me. But I'm sure you could do a better job. But you're going to get up. You're going to know that the Spirit of God is upon you. And you're going to know that you can be driven by the wind of God's breath. Now, I want you to see why it's so important for you. It's not, you know, me as a person, I tell my wife all the time, me and you are blessed. We 3/4 of the way around the track. Look at us. Look at me and you. We older now. We was laughing all night, but her and I both. I sitting on the edge of that bed, oh, man, ah. What's the matter? I don't think nothing's the matter. And we just started laughing. You ought to hurt us. Like a bunch of kids. And then she just come over there and just held me. It's fun to be old together. And we just starting old. And that's okay. It's all right. We 3/4 of the way. Whether we've done right or wrong, Jesus figured it out directly. But let me show you what the problem is. Look here. And my words which I put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth. Verse 21. Isaiah 59, Amplified. Or out of the mouth of your true spiritual children. Or out of the mouth of your mouths of your children's children, says the Lord. I have to walk right. I was telling them guys yesterday, you know, there's some churches I have some off time sometimes. Do you know I can't go in the church unannounced and just go and sit and listen to a sermon? The political ramifications and trouble it would make, I can't do it. I can't do it. Isn't that something? I don't have the freedom that you're a leader, you can do anything you want. No, you can't. You have to be right. You can't make mistakes. Too much is riding on it. Your smallest error will cause ripples for several generations of God's children. I was talking over with Brother Ron, and he said, won't you do that? I can't do it. Yeah, you can't. No, I can't. And I explained to him why, and then he said, no, he can't. You can't do it, can you? It's important for me, for my grandkids and their kids. It's important for me, for the people around me that serve God, that we serve God together for a few generations. Let me tell you why. Look at verse 1 of chapter 60. This is Amplified. All right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this tonight. This is why we're here tonight. I don't know why you think you came, but I know why you're here. You know, I'm giving you plenty of cannon fire and black powder and everything you need to shoot at me, you know, because I'm wacko and I'm good. That's all right. Take a shot. It's all right. Devils do it every day. It's good. But the reason we're here is to arise. I've been talking to you for a couple hours around here the last few days to get to this verse. What, Brother Hogan? I love Jesus. I'm so glad of that. Boy, you can't believe how happy that makes me. But if you do love Jesus, and if you're trying to work for God, that means you have been abused, misused, hurt, offended, slapped, hit, banged, pushed, shoved, spit on. I'm telling you, if you love Jesus, you're a target. And this is not being taught very much, but we got to get over. It's all right. You got to be a target. You got to be that prey. God's looking for it. But what you got to not do is take and keep that depression. You got to let it go. Can't have it. That's not part of what you're called to do. You can't take that depression. Listen to this. Arise from the depression, the prostration, in which circumstances have kept you. There are many people in here tonight that have gone through serious circumstances, made decisions, right or wrong, they've caused you problems. And we are going to get them fixed. As much as you can trust heaven, listen. Rise to a new life. Can you see that up there? Standards going up. We are going to raise it. It is not one man's responsibility to raise the standard. It is the church's responsibility to raise the standard. It is right for people to lead and to be good leaders and to be aggressive and to be, what does it say? Let me read the exact phrase. Let me find it real quick. It says, put on his garments of vengeance and clothing and clad with zeal, a furious divine jealousy. I love it. Oh, serious? I love it. Ah! Rise to a new life. Now you listen, before I finish that verse, I want to share, I got a couple of minutes. Now listen. We had some weddings planned in our work. One of them was my daughter, Joy, and her husband now, David, and Chico and Casey. They're here. Both of them couples are here. Man, we're happy. Brother Philip raised his daughter. That's his daughter that Brother Chico's married to. I raised my daughter, and neither one of them are worth much, but they're worth a little bit. They'll get better as time goes. And because it's in them, it's just got to come out. Now, here's the thing. Those are times of joy and happiness and them kids, boy, I'm blessed for them. They stayed, and it was hard, and they stuck through, and they made it through, and they did pretty good. I'll admit that to them. They did pretty good. They could have done better, but they did pretty good. The day of my daughter's wedding in Brother David's, there was 1,087, is that right? Indians there at our ranch. And boy, we had to kill two cows. So many folks came. Boy, when them kids came, Brother David was there. He was beautiful. I'm serious. My daughter come out, Jenner, and I mean, we had all them elders there. And every one of them sanctioned these weddings. It was wonderful. It was as good as it's ever going to get for a guy like me. I mean, we had the backing of the Holy Ghost. It was wonderful. All right. Then, all the elders, they had to say something to them kids. So they got a little lengthy, but that's all right. They were sent off, and everything's good. On the way home, Brother Chico, stand up, Brother Chico, let me see who you are. Right there, thank you. Brother Chico's driving his truck. How many Indians were in the back? Hello. 38, 40, something like that. It's one of the most joyous days of our life. My last daughter, I got one more child at home. It's happy, things are good. And you know what happened? In the middle of our great joy, that truck he was driving flipped on the highway with 40 of our Indians in it. Bodies were strewn everywhere. He gave me a call as soon as it happened. I don't know how in the world he got to me. It just don't happen, but it did. When he called me, that thing hit me, didn't it, Miss Judy? You was there. That thing knocked me down in the floor, and I couldn't respond. I was so physically, it was another battle these women got me through. But that's not the important thing, me. That's not what we're dealing with here. All of a sudden, news went through our ranks. People responded. Everybody did. Kids are gone. They're blessed and happy. But I've got bodies laying all over a main highway in Mexico. And it's a possibility that up to a dozen are dead. All right. Brother Rod, you don't want that phone call, my brother. Don't. Don't want that. Don't ever want that. I didn't want it either, but I got it. Our missionary started responding. People are calling me, asking me what to do, and I'm laying on the floor dying. People are dead on the highway. Police are coming. Ambulances are everywhere. This thing went so out of hand. Our joy was turned into mourning. Our rejoicing was short-lived. We were hit in the middle of one of our greatest hours. And we had several dead brothers laying on the side. They were picking them up off the highway, stacking them up dead on the ditch. Horrible. You understand horrible when I say to you horrible? People that we'll all die for, and they're dead. All right. So what do? My son calls. Jody Atchison calls. That's Brother Chico's brother. Everybody's calling in. So what do? Hello? What do? You got that right. My son and who else went over there and prayed for them folks? Philip. Several of our elders walked through the line of the dead praying for them. All of them got up but one. And I'm talking about concussions, lacerations, broken arms, broken legs, broken ribs. Everyone 100% healed today. 100%. Did you hear me? Are you listening to me? How come? How did it happen to y'all in the first place? I left y'all theologians figure it out. My job, that's not my job. My job is to have the army in place. That when an illegal standard of hell stands in our midst against us, and we have a dozen folks dead on the side of the road, my job is to have the army ready. that'll walk over and touch them. Caved in heads, cut throats, broken, bashed up inside, heart stops, lungs collapsed. You hear me? And they walk through them and lay their hands on them, stepping over them, one by one. Our brothers, who just a few minutes ago we were worshiping God together. Then we worked. Brother Chico went to jail. The foreigner. He'll be there a number of years. There ain't no getting him out. We went to work. Brother Sean, stand up. Brother Sean is my lawyer with the lawyers. Thank you very much. I told him, you don't leave it. I'm having this. Brother Philip, Brother Ron, stand up. I told him, stay with it. I was dying. Brother Ron, thank y'all. Brother Ron says, I'm not leaving you. I said, if you're not leaving me, you pray I die. Because you don't go take care of those brothers. I'll take care of you myself. Left me in the capable hands of all these women that pray in tongues. And these children. That's all okay. There were bodies everywhere. Every emergency room was full. There is no help for the Indian. We walk in, we help. We're praying in tongues, and there are miracles on the operating table while we pray. Are you hearing me? I'm wondering if you're listening to me. There's a reason why you need a higher standard. There's a reason why you need to let the secular go and hold on to the sacred. There's a reason, because something's on its way, and it's way bigger than what I'm explaining to you. It's going to take the church to step in. It's going to take the house of God to fix it. And I want to know, are you that house? Are you going to hear me and arise? Are you going to hear what I'm saying to you and arise to new life? That's what I want to know. Because the standard has been set before you. I have on purpose took my time and went through this slow. Government officials from several different things were cursing and calling, rebuking and spitting fire and pulling ranks and doing everything else to have us all put in jail. And the Holy Ghost has healed us all. All of us. There ain't one person that he forgot. I'm talking to you about a standard. I'm talking to you about bowing to God's justice. I'm talking to you about being the intercessor, the intervener on behalf of truth and life. And I'm asking you, this is what we are going to do. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. I want you to shine and be radiant. Do you know how blessed I am? I'm always blessed. I'm always up. Because there ain't no valley. I don't know what you've been taught, but it's wrong. You don't live from mountaintop to mountaintop. It's yea, though, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Arise, shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord. For your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The whole darkness shall cover the earth. I tell you, it's on us. But so is the Holy Ghost. See, my problem is I believe this. That's my problem. My problem is, I want to ask you as a people, many of you are hurt, really hurt, in your spirit, in your bodies, your minds. There's been some things happened to you that were wrong. I want you to let it go. I want you to shine. I want you to arise in the radiance of the glory of the Holy Ghost. But the Lord shall arise upon you, O Jerusalem, and His glory shall be seen on you. Nations shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. I'll tell you, that Holy Ghost healed us. That Holy Ghost healed all of us. There ain't one person sick that was in that wreck or any reason of it. We don't owe any money. We are free. Brother David, why didn't you call us? Why didn't you call me? Y'all are used to calling each other when it's an emergency, like your dog broke a fingernail and needed to put some new polish on it. Starbucks is out of coffee. McDonald's French fry grease is getting low. We need to pray. These are serious problems. Walmart Supercenter didn't have any federal duck stamps. Man, we got to get together and pray. These are serious problems. Russell's over there didn't have the right color cock-a-hole plastic I went for. Man, I'm in a bind. We got to pray, Brother Rod. It's a serious problem. No, I'm going to tell you a serious problem. When a dozen of your brothers are laying on the side of the ditch dead, and I can't go, and I have to send my son and Brother Ron and Brother Philip and Brother Jay and Brother Greg and Brother Jeff and who else went? Jason. And they got to work endless hours. Endless hours. You get your first 40 in the first day. But the results are spectacular. Because we had the guts to hold on to the sacred. And we had the courage to be loyal and obedient. God has the courage to blow the breath of heaven upon us with the Spirit of God and raise up a standard. That's the standard that brings the power of God. Stand up and let's pray together. Great Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the fire of God that's burning on me. I thank you for the power and anointing of the Holy Ghost. So you can see, thank you, great Holy Ghost. Thank you, great Holy Ghost. Let's come up there. I just want to know if there's anybody that wants to arise in here. That's all. From the depression, the oppression, the suppression, the possession of the secular. I'm going to be free, and that's the way it's got to be. But not at the price of offending you to a point it'll hurt you. But I'm going to tell you something. I'll go where I can be free. What do you think that little old woman thinks about that was dead? That was 80, 90 years old. That got up and all these folks are in her house. There's a bucket of money there by her head. What do you think she thinks about the gospel? What do you think those people with the tumors and with the Parkinson's and the... What is that quadriplegic's idea of the gospel now? What is the idea? Does anyone know? Do you have an idea? Anybody? Yeah, it's real. It's real, all right. I tell you, we can do this. Woo! We are each going to be a standard bearer for the Holy Ghost. We are going to be a point where the wind of God can blow. We are all going to be, all of us. We're not going to have to look for somebody. God's going to have us there. And it's going to be all right. There's a little old lady I prayed for. I had three kinds of cancer. Her body was emaciated. I laid right on top of her. Grabbed her face. Opened her mouth. Her husband was standing right there. Put my lips on hers. And I blew into her mouth. I blew right into her mouth. See, I'm full of the life of God. I've got new life in me. Woo! When I got up, the Holy Ghost did. He went inside that woman. The doctor said it looked like some sort of chemo radiation had burned it all out. She's completely healed. We can do this. We can do this, y'all. No, I'm too far gone, Brother David. I'm too burned. I'm crispy fried, my brother. Come on up here, let me get a bite. I like fried food. We gotta get over it. We gotta get over it. I wanna be a free man. I can't do it holding grudges. I can't do it holding depression. I can't do it. See, the thing that's not being taught too much anymore is these people that have offended you and hurt you, they're manipulating you when you let them run your life with anger. They're still hurting you. Something awful. We gotta let it go. We're going to arise, church. Come on. Come on now. New life. Radiant life. Woo! Come on. I want you to make your decision right now. Hello, Brother Franco's daughter. Make your decision. Go ahead, make it. Come on up, guys. Orale, Deborah, she's fun. You missionaries, and I told y'all, y'all's gonna get prayers. Get up here in this line first. Come on.